Today's lesson is titled, Live is Christ. The scripture is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Again, scriptures is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the key verse is Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Let's all read this key verse. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Once again, let's read together. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now we will hear the message from our pastor with the title, To Live is Christ. Greetings to everyone who have come to worship. Welcome those worshiping from home as we worship the Lord. The title is Live is to Christ. As Paul declared, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Maybe this is a very strange declaration about Christ. And it is very difficult if we don't understand the relationship between what Paul and Christ is. So we normally think that to live comfortably, to eat well, to have wealth is comfortable. And death may never come, as the world is thinking. But Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Any one of us can declare such a thing. There's a story about a young married couple. They like to surf. And as they were surfing, there is a school of sharks coming after them. And nearby, a ship is sailing, and the ship was seeing this school of fish, and they were making all kinds of alarm to this couple who were swimming and surfing. And so this couple, in a hurry, swim toward the ship with their surfboard. And so the husband put the wife on the surfboard and push her toward the ship. And as they come close to the ship, and the school of sharks is falling close behind, and suddenly the husband pushed the wife out, and he climbed on the surfboard and swam away from the ship, and then all the school of sharks following the husband, and then was captured. The husband died because of all this charge. And when the wife was saved by the ship master, he said, your husband is very courageous. And the wife was very angry. How can you say my husband was courageous? He pushed me off and he took the board and swam by himself. He was a low lifer. He only cared by himself, the wife complained. And then the chief master said, no, that's not right. Through our Dinopolis, I saw him cut himself off to make the blood flow, and then it attracted all the sharks, and the shark came after him and devoured him. Dear congregation, the husband did something that the wife did not understand. He tried to sacrifice himself to save his wife. There are many things in life that we are doing that no one can understand. But as a Christian, we need to express the way of life as a Christian to others. And so, in Philippians, to be, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ means this life. I only want to know Christ. When we think about Christ, I live for Christ, I live with Christ. And if I die, this is a blessing for me because I will be with Christ. Let's pray for guidance. As we use the word of God to encourage us to live with Christ. Dear our Father in heaven, our hearts be are thankful because you have loved us. While we were yet sinners, you have paid the price for us so that we can be reconciled to our Father in heaven. We know that we are born here and we have been purchased to become your child, your children. We are privileged to be your children today. May we determine for us that we have to equip us an attitude, a way of life, expressing the value of Christ in our lives to others. As we fulfill the purpose you have given us, may you bless us and guide us as we share the word. May the Holy Spirit teach us this morning. We live up this hour before you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are four things that we will learn today. As we have read, how can we live in Christ? A person who lives in Christ is to have to be prepared with an attitude. The second, that live with that attitude. The third, we can express the value in Christ. And we live for a Christian purpose. And we can learn from the experience of Paul. And first part is to one who live with Christ is prepare an attitude, a Christian attitude. In all situations, in the service of God, God prepare for himself. He will serve Christ in any kind of situation. In the old translation, whether now or in the future, or another translation say, in everywhere, everyone, he has equipped himself with a service of attitude of service to live in Christ in any kind of situation. To live with Christ is someone who enter into a marriage vow with the wife or husband. When the two are married, in the day of marriage, they put together a vow before God that we will love each other in health or in sickness, in happiness or in sadness, in rich or in poor, and promise until death do we part. We must be equipped with an attitude just like when we are entering a vow in marriage. In any situation, whether we are in rich or in poor, in sadness or in happiness, in health or in sickness. Not only Paul prepared himself an attitude, but he encouraged everyone that he knew that whoever Paul had led to Christ to be, to live in Christ. He encouraged Timothy in verse 2, be strong in faith. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And the faith that we receive, we continue to carry forward. When we have a relationship with Christ, there are two things that we must maintain: faith and love that attach to our life. the relationship with Christ is not only a particularly wealth, the good condition many have forfeited Christ when they get into trouble. Why? Because they thought that, because they think that believing Christ to escape troubles. I believe in Christ because I don't want to get in trouble. That's what they thought. God does not cause any kind of troubles in our life without a purpose. What causes the troubles for us? That's because our sinful condition that we acquire that consequence of sin in our life. When we are been saved, God does not forsake that person. When God created us as human, He created us in love. And whether we believe in Christ or not, God can bless us the same. He creates rain for the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Because rain is needed for our life. Whether that person is good or bad, the rain will come down and bless all. When we have air to breathe, whether we are a good person or bad person, God gives us air to breathe the same. When you and I run into sickness, God can heal our sickness. Now we have advancement in medical, we have good doctors, we have good medicine, but dear congregation, the healing belongs to God, not by human hand. So each one of us, as faithful or not in Christ, can experience the blessing of the healing because God created human for Himself. David has experienced. He said, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. The important thing of a Christian that they feel that there is a God and that God wants a relationship with humans. When we can equip us with a relationship with the Lord, when we put faith in Him, can experience like Paul, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because Paul is not afraid to die, whether alive or dead. Paul said, I belong to Christ. He said, not afraid of death. Last week, we had a key verse that be encouraged and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be disappointed, for the Lord is with you in all that wherever you go. That is the promise for everyone. For when our lives have a relationship with Christ, sometimes, well, we may have trouble, but sometimes we have good health. And the troubles, it is natural to face troubles in one's life. However, when we have a relationship with Christ, we can say as follows, for me, to live is Christ. So, I would not be afraid. I would not be anxious when I face troubles. When I face a condition that is desperate, when I have to face with sometimes we are hated by people around us. Paul has said in to the Philippians, I am not saying this because I am in need, Paul said, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. For has been no use in everywhere. I will be content, Paul said, in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. How can Paul say that I'm content with all the conditions, situation, in everywhere, whether he is rich or poor, he will be content in any situation, whether he is well-fed or hungry, wherever he goes, he met trouble or met with trouble. So we need to equip for ourselves an attitude to live with Christ. The Lord will not let us be alone, lonely, that we are not facing troubles by ourselves, because there God is with us. The second point that we have to equip to live in Christ is to live like a Christ-like attitude. Paul said, I'm not ashamed, but full of courage. Paul said to Timothy, if a young woman married with a husband famous to achieve many achievements in life, and she will be proud of her husband. If a husband is lower than her, maybe the wife feel uncomfortable, feel kind of ashamed for the husband. Maybe in reality, sometimes the wife had to help the husband. And Paul said, I will not be ashamed and always be courageous. Why? Because Paul knows that he worshiped someone, a great God. When the wife knows that a husband who achieved many achievements and makes the wife feel comfortable, just like the relationship with Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to save all who believe. The gospel cannot be defamed. Many can despise the gospel. Paul said, I will not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to save all who believe. You and I, are we ashamed of the gospel? Do we feel that gospel is the power that that power has saved us, ourselves, from sin? When we know this truth, we are not ashamed of gospel. Sometimes we are ashamed and don't pray in public. And someone go to church might not want to bring the Bible because they're afraid they'd be laughed at. They will be ashamed above say that I'm a Christian. Sometimes we feel ashamed to say that to others. Sometimes we have to feel like, hey, if we understand what the gospel is, we will be proud, because that's the power to change my life. Before, I was used to be angry, but now I feel peace. Before, I was a drunkard, that drink and drink, and now I have been changed. Now I love my wife and children. Is that good thing or bad thing? But we were not proud when we have those kind of a spiritual achievement, the change in the life. We should not be ashamed that we are Christians. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is not ashamed of covenant. He told me, I am not ashamed about whom I worship. Yet this is the no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day, the day of the Lord. When we can experience the power of God that sent us, when we understand the one who believes, he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He created this universe. He created myself and gave us all the conditions to live on this earth. Then there is nothing to be ashamed about God, of the gospel, of our Savior. the life of Paul has spent so many facing trouble, and none of us may have experienced such as Paul. He was not ashamed of the one who worshipped. In 2 Corinthians, I have from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, Paul wrote. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stone. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. He suffered so much during the journey to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. But I continue to serve our Christ. Why is a rich person like Paul, who is a righteous Jew, who was respected by the Jews at that day, and he forfeited all of that to follow Christ? And then he was beaten up, he was stoned, he was whipped and persecuted by his fellow Jews. He got shipwrecked, he was hungry, that he continued to serve Christ, because he discovered to live is Christ. He must equip a Christ-like attitude for himself. That's the attitude of all the Christians Paul encouraged. He would not be afraid. He is full of courage to talk about the gospel that he brings to the Gentiles. And in the Old Testament, we know Job is someone who loved the Lord because Satan hated Job. He hated those who worship God. So he asked the Lord, take us, Lord, to bring harm on Job. And then Lord gave Job to Satan. You can do anything to him except for his life. Do not take his life. And Satan took the opportunity to harm Job, took away his children, 10 of his children. They were killed by Satan. He did not have anything left, Job. And then Job said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. What could cause Job to say that? Because Job knew God. And his wife, he said, no, you still believe? His wife said, curse to God and die. His wife said, but Job said, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Job knew God, because all this is under God's plan, sovereign plan for him. And he know God sovereign over his life. And so he continued to trust in the Lord. Dear congregation, in my life, there may be who are someone to hate. Many do not understand our way of life. But as we live for Christ, that person would not be ashamed, because we belong to Christ. But be courageous to live through all kinds of conditions. Do you know what your purpose for your life is? Can you be courageous like Paul? There's a story named Joseph. He was born with an unusual neurologic condition. When he grew up, though, there are so many difficulties in life because of his medical condition. But he continued with the effort to study. He listened to the tape of teaching to teach him how to read, how to do arithmetic, how to pronounce the word correctly. He has done all his effort by the help of their parents. And Joseph lived to recognize that he can overcome difficulties in life, even though of his medical condition. He lived happily with all around him. He helped all the old person. And sometimes he participates in some of the fundraising for the children who have Down syndrome. There's a friend called Micah, and he suffered kidney deterioration, and he could pass if there's no kidney. Joseph said, I can give my kidney to my friend Micah. But the parents were very anxious for this operation. Micah passed away. And after 10 years of fighting with this medical condition, he got into a coma. And the parents didn't anticipate planning for a trip before Joseph came into the coma to travel around the world with Joseph. And at the time that God's calling him home, Joseph didn't understand why Joseph had to be in coma so fast. And the last wish of Joseph is all the organs in his body must be given after his death so that others can use it. Dear congregation, 2 kidneys by Joseph has saved the life of 2 young women. And the liver of Joseph has been given to save another person. 2 young children in California alive because of the heart of Joseph. 2 other children, one in Kentucky, when Joseph can see because the eyes of Joseph. Many have been healed because of the body of Joseph, willing to donate the organs. Joseph has passed away, but he lived on in many lives. Joseph lived a short life, but the parents said he lived a meaningful life. His life was complete because of his donation of his organ. There are so many wonderful things Joseph had brought to the world because he had donated his organ. When our lives with me a courageous life, that is a life that can bring utility to others, can bring help to others, can bring the gospel to others. God from there can see our life. Is God ashamed of our life, or will we be proud of our life? When we decided to live with Christ, God will be proud of us. May we live to be equipped with a Christ-like attitude. To live for Christ in any form, we have an attitude like Christ that would not be ashamed but be courageous in faith. The third point that we will learn that a live in Christ is someone who always show off Christian values. The Christian value always be expressed is that right now we have to show our Christian values. I can be doing something for the Lord right now. The love is whether it's concrete or not, is right now, not in the future. So a promising love is not true love. But it must be concrete at this time. If we live for Christ, we say, I'm ready to live for you now. where you, Christ can use us. God does not depend you on me that we have to equip to become somebody valuable before it can be used by God. No, God can use us right now, right in our condition. When in the old days, God uses Moses. He is about 80 years old already. And when he was in the royal palace in Egypt, he was so young. He had knowledge. He had the condition. But no, God did not use him then. After he killed an Egyptian, because that Egyptian was mistreating a Jewish, and then he has to hide away from the Egyptian officer looking to kill Moses. He had to hide away in the wilderness. So he hid himself in the wilderness. And the Lord allowed Moses to see him. And he now, at that time, was 80 years old. He called, "Moses, what do you have in your hand?" Moses said, "I have a staff in my hand, a shepherd's staff. That staff is only a stick, has no value. Use it only to become a shepherd. It has no value." But God told Moses, "Give that staff to me." And then the staff become a symbol of strength. And with that staff of the Lord, and when he tapped onto the rock, and he can cause disaster to come when he used the staff to strike the ground. The same staff he raised up, and then the Israelite army can destroy his enemy, their enemy at that time. With the staff, Moses tapped onto the rock, and the water burst out for the people to drink. More than 2 million Jews follow Moses in the wilderness. The staff is nothing to many people, but when it is in God's hand, it becomes a symbol of power, of miracles. Joseph was a young man. David, as a young person, is like nobody else. He's just a young shepherd. He brought food to his brother to the battle. He faces Goliath. Goliath is despising and cursing the people of Israel. So David said, "Who was that guy who was cursing Tonka?" So he asked to fight this giant. And the king said, "Do you know who Goliath is? You are a young person. And that he is an experienced fighter. How could you, David, as a young person, to fight that giant?" But David said, "I will cause my God's name. I will use my God's name to fight this Goliath." He took the 5 stones from the river. And only one rock, one piece of pebble used by his slingshot, and the slingshot hit the giant in the head with a single stone. And then when Goliath fell down, he used the sword of Goliath to cut off his head. When God uses David, doesn't matter what the situation is, the success will come because God has helped David. And if we dedicate our life to the Lord, he can use us in a wonderful way. Sometimes we have to think, oh, we have to be perfect before we can use by God. We can make sure our family is okay before we can serve God. Dear congregation, that is the biggest lie in our life, to try to prepare ourselves to be perfect. There's a story about a young person, and she committed her life to Christ, but she does not want to serve the Lord yet. She said, oh, I still have my family. I cannot serve God now. I cannot serve the Lord right now yet because of my family, my husband. Whenever my children grew up, then I will have time to serve the Lord. It's better that time. And to teach a lesson, this pastor show her and teach her that our life is valuable to God right now. And he would teach the class. The first class, he brought a bouquet of roses. And so this lady, attending the class of the pastor, thinking, oh, that bouquet of roses must be for me, she was thinking to herself. But at the end of the day, after he took the bouquet home, the pastor took the bouquet home with him. So this class lasted for 5 days. The next day, he also brought the same bouquet of roses. It's still very nice. The lady, this young lady who is first, the second day, she thought it was for her, but the pastor took home. The third day, the same bouquet of roses. The fourth or fifth day, and finally, after the sixth day, the flowers start to wilt. And on the Saturday, he continued to teach, oh, now I can give you this bouquet of roses. And she was so angry. Now it is wilted. Why didn't you give it to me on the first day when it was still fresh? Now it was about to die. Now you give it to me. And the pastor said, when you first follow Christ, you cannot wait until you are old and you have no health, and then you give yourself to serve Christ. The value of the life is now, right now. The important is that who am I? The important that what I can achieve. The important is, am I ready to serve the Lord? Paul said to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, in the large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. The problem is that we are silver or gold or of lesser value. But right now, it is important for us to serve the Lord in any situation. The value of the vessel, not because it is gold or by clay, but it is ready for use by the Lord. Your life and mine is the same. We are made differently in different situations. We may have different knowledge, different financial situation. We have different ability, different gift. The most important thing is that God, right now, can we use by the Lord or not? May we help to prepare a value before God as we dedicate our life to God's service. The fourth word that we will share in Paul is to live for a God-given purpose. He said, for the Lord to be prepared and praised in me. Paul has reminded Timothy, in any situation, I can live for Christ. I will not be ashamed. I will be courageous for the road prepared for me. I will serve us right now, especially right now. Fourth, I will praise the Lord right now in any situation. All creatures have been created to express the glory of God, our Creator. In this world, in this universe, we are created to praise God. when we see a beautiful flowers, it talks about the glory of God. When we look at the beauty of a flower, one can smell the fragrance of the flower. That tells us about the glory of God creating the flower. When we see the activities of the bees or the ants, but the way they work tell us of the glory of God. We can see the wisdom of the Lord when created the bees and the ants. When we see the mountain, like the stars and the sun and the moon, the universe, that talks about the glory of God. Oh, it's creation. But human is a creature that he created us for himself, that a human will express the glory of God to others. But we fail because we have fallen into sin. But God has saved you and me. Whether we have different racial justice, we have different languages, we have different social status, we have different knowledges or intellectual achievement, different situation, but we have a common goal, is the one saved by the Lord to live, to express God's glory in our life, to live up Christ, not just to stand here and sing, but to praise the Lord Christ, is to live according to Christ in our life, the way we treat each other throughout everyday life. Paul has recognized himself saying that the purpose, I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. There is a relationship between Paul and Christ here. I live not that out in my body. I live by faith in the Son of God. I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Though I live in the body, but Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And now I live by faith put in the Son of God. That is someone who loves me. For your love and me to become someone who lives, for someone who lives in Christ. Not necessarily that my life and yours to be completely ours. You have to be 100% a pastor, 100% at the church. But we can still live for Christ. But Jesus said, and Jesus taught us, we have learned many times, your life must be before men so that they can see your good work and praise your Father in heaven. The purpose of a Christian is like that. The light that we have to be the light of the world so that they can see our good works and praise the Father in heaven. We can be an engineer. We can be the nail salon. To be business person. Whatever type of work we have as we work in the factory. The one that God demands of us is that we have to express the work of the Lord and have experienced that so that others can see our good works and praise the Lord, our Father in heaven. That's why in congregation. If we could not understand the purpose that we live for, how can we express ourselves as a Christian? The Lord in us will not be praised through our life if we do not have that understanding. In the 4th century, there is an orator who has of high integrity, and his name is John Chrysostom. He gave encouragement for all who did wrong during that time. And he advised the king and gave the king Aurelius of Constantinople very comfortable, because the king has so many wrong things. And John advised him and not to do wrong things. And many of the people advising the king hated this person. He continued to mock this person who uses the word of God to advise the king. So they were trying to meet together to see how they can depose this person, continue to use the word of God to advise principle. They said, why don't we put him in jail, take away all his possessions? And others said, why don't we put him in jail until he died? And the fourth person said, let's execute him, let's chop off his head. Everybody has an idea of how to harm this person who used the word to advise the king. But there is one who said, I heard all your ideas. It won't work. I understand this person very much because he loves the Lord. Nobody can make him forfeit his faith in the Lord. If you cause him to get away, he gave all his possessions to the poor. He did that. But you put him in jail? If you put him in jail, you allow him more time to pray to his Lord, his God. You want to take his life away? Taking his life away, that means you are open the heaven door for him to enter. If you punish this person, there is no better than to cause him to sin. This is the greatest punishment for him. This person would not be afraid of poorness, not afraid of death. The only thing he afraid that he committed sin against his God. This is the way the devil attacked John Chrysostom at that time. And now, the devil is using the same scheme to cause somebody to sin, to walk away from God. What will we do? And Paul said, I live is Christ, to die is gain. He has a clear perspective of his life. Paul just, to live is Christ. To die is gain. And in the Message Bible, the translation, alive I am his messenger, dead I am his prize. So we are his messenger when we are alive. But when we dead, we become Christ's prize. May we be affirmed. Help us, God, affirm us to have a relationship with Christ, the attitude before Christ, to examine, to affirm the value that we have for Christ, to affirm the purpose that Christ has for us. May the Lord bless each of us in our faith, not just on Sunday, that we can see our friends here at church. That would not be the saving grace. The saving grace faith is that I live for Christ. May the Lord help us. Let's all stand. We can read together the key verse of today's message. Let's read together. For to be, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's do one more time. For to be, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Dear Lord, may each of us affirm our faith, the attitude that we live for Christ, that we can live in any condition to live for Christ, whether in joy or in sadness, whether we are comfort or in bad situation, in health or in sickness, we continue to want to live for Christ. May you help us so each of us can see the attitude that we have. We can become without a shame of the gospel and be courageous to live for you. We can know that our Lord understands the value the gospel has changed our lives, so that we would not be ashamed. May you help us to become a valuable instrument in your hand, even while you still want to use our life for your purpose, so that others can see the power of God has changed our lives through the gospel, to see our good works and praise our Father in heaven. May we live for you, Lord. May you help us to live with a purpose. If we do not live for this purpose, our value that you have given us will be wasted. If we only live selfishly, if we only want to do what our desire in this life will be meaningless for you, Lord, because you have saved us. May we return to the purpose you have for us, to live and praise you. We are thankful because you have shared all of your love for us. Though wherever we are, whoever we are, it doesn't matter what profession we have, whether what condition it is, may you be with us, work with us, help us, to help us to live out your purpose. May we be corrected whenever we have some attitude that is demeaning to others, something that offends you. May you correct them, Lord, so that we can walk according to your true purpose. We are thankful, as Paul has shared his experience with us, that we have read in the scripture, that we can say, like Paul said, that I live in Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because in you, Lord, we can discover this purpose. We have the faith to live the faith in our life. We will be happy in this life as well as the next life, knowing that you have us. You will have welcome us home. May you bless each one of us. You lift up each one of us as we face difficulties in life, as we work, that we have to pay the price. We are willing to do that for your name's sake. May you keep us into your care. We are thankful. We lift each part of our life into your hand. And we lift our congregation before you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.